Okay.
Great. Right. Can I say welcome to David? And how do we introduce you, David? That's the thing, isn't it? Where are you based now, and what are you doing?
So I'm based in Oxford. I'm one of the pastors at Woodstock Road Baptist Church, which is a church just north side of Oxford. Not very university focused. We're just loving being part of the local community, getting to know people there. Who's we? I'm married to Jo. We've got 4 kids. We moved up here last summer, so still fairly new to the area. We were in North London before that.
And you were teaching in a theological college in London. And we were interacting on Twitter and all sorts of stuff.
We were.
We have given, you have chosen this subject this evening from a list of suggestions. Why don't I hand over to you and see if we can remember D-Ream and the 1997 election. Things can only get better. Obviously, for some people here, that's too long ago. For some of us, it seems like yesterday. The advent of Tony Blair, yeah.
Well, I was relieved to discover today. Do people know what we're talking about? So D-Ream were a band that provided a song to celebrate that went with the Labour Party's election campaign in 97. That was one of those points where people were getting very excited about how things were going to get a lot better, kicking out the Tories and seeing new Labour come into government. There is still the video on YouTube where you can watch various middle-aged Labour politicians have a go at dancing to D-Ream, yes. Which is quite a spectacle.
Neil Kinnock looking furtive. Over to you.
Shall I get going? Lovely. Good evening, everybody. I've got a little handout. I'm going to keep one of those. That one for you, Jim. And then
here's just a few points and thoughts that we're going to think through together.
Very, very keen that we try and have a kind of conversation tonight, and I wanted to kind of share with you some of the people who've been helping me think through the question of progress, why in our culture we are so excited about the thought of progress, why people want to be progressive, and how we might think about that. Our title, Things Can Only Get Better, which is a very dated reference back to the 1997, The Myth of Progress and Where to Find True Hope. And that's what we're going to think about for a little while. The first person I wanted to think a bit with is a guy called Paul Kingsnorth. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was an environmental campaigner for a long time and very involved in the environmentalist movement. Became fairly disillusioned with that and started exploring issues of faith, went around lots of different religions, and a few years ago became a Christian. He has been writing a lot about where our culture looks for hope and meaning, and first quote there highlights the idea of progress. He says, probably the central story of our culture, which I think has replaced a lot of the religious stories that used to be at the heart of our culture. The central story of our culture is the story of progress. He thinks that's one of the big stories that people are telling about who we are and what we're trying to achieve. You might ask, what sort of story do we tell? He explains it a bit more like this. What we say is that it is possible through human ingenuity to create a utopia, perfect world. We have a story that tells us that human beings started as ignorant savages and are moving through a series of progressive steps in which at every point they get cleverer, they get richer, they get smarter, they develop technologies which help them to live longer, they learn more. Eventually, he says, that ends with us probably leaving the planet and colonizing the stars or living forever or just downloading our brains onto silicon chips. It starts to get a bit sci-fi at the end there, though there are a surprising number of people who are actually talking about could we live forever? Could we download our brains onto silicon chips? Are we going to go and colonize Mars? But you hopefully recognize that basic story, the idea that humanity is on a steady upward curve. Let me try and do my line in the right direction. So if you're plotting the graph of human history, there is just a very steady progress, and on lots of different measurements, thinking about how much we know, how long we live, technology, lots of things. The human story is the story of coming out of something prehistoric and dark and then medieval and getting ever and ever better in lots of ways. The sci-fi stuff, it gets a bit more fanciful, though. One of the things I was learning this week was the message that we put onto one of the spacecraft that we send out. 1977, Jimmy Carter, the American president, wrote a message to accompany the Voyager spacecraft and said, and this is his message to space and whoever's out there listening, "We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, to join a community of galactic civilizations." So, the American president hoping, possibly pitching for a kind of a leadership role amongst galactic civilizations. But you get there, this same idea that we might deal with our problems. We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, the thought that humanity, given enough time, is going to be able to put itself right, is going to be able to fix the world, and then conquer space. In lots of other ways, you hear that sort of idea. As I mentioned, that the title of the talk comes from that theme song to New Labour's election campaign back in '97. At the end of Tony Blair's time, he gave a speech to the Labour Party conference and spoke about his vision for politics. He said, "Politics is not a chore; it is the great adventure of progress." What are politicians trying to work towards? What do they promise us? They promise us a green and pleasant land. They promise us a future that they can usher in for us. The great problem of, and the great promise rather of progress. If you ask people today, I suppose, where they might point to say, yes, that progress is happening, they would probably think about the 20th century and a lot of the ways that things seem to have got better for a lot of people. And they might particularly think about civil rights movement. They might think about the emancipation of women and the extension of the vote. They might think about some of the other areas that have often been thought of as kind of human rights. They might say, actually, it runs from the civil rights movement through to gay marriage, through to transgender rights. Often those things are pitched as the next step we take to liberating people, to being more progressive, to being more enlightened. So in lots of ways, this story of progress is one that we get told quite a lot. And the idea that humanity is getting better and better and able to do more and more, sometimes that's a message that's just pitched at us, and we're a bit more cynical about that. I don't know how you feel about it as a story that gets told as you look at the world, as you look at your own lives, how much it looks like progress is possible or inevitable. Just some thoughts on how we think about that as a story, and then we'll come around to thinking, as a Christian, how do I relate to that? I want to share that, and then you can ask any questions that you've got. This myth of progress seems to me it is, first of all, pretty debatable. Lots of cultures have looked at human history and drawn very different conclusions. So in the ancient world, they imagined starting with a golden age and then kind of declining down to a Bronze Age and an Iron Age. So you know how wedding anniversary presents sort of escalate from paper and cardboard up to the valuable stuff? They imagined human history doing that in reverse. That there was a golden age, and now it's all decline. Watch Lord of the Rings, and I think you slightly get that feeling as well. It's partly the story there of this kind of golden age, and it's all somewhat coming to an end. In recent Western history, there have definitely been kind of peaks and troughs. There have been times when you get this story told and believed very strongly, and then times when it's really very hard to tell this story. So start of the 20th century, before the Second World, before the World Wars, you had a lot of people being very optimistic about what science might achieve and where humanity might go, and then a crushing blow to those hopes and those ideas with the World Wars. After the Second World War, more and more, I think, a bit of a sense of optimism about what science might achieve, where technology might take us. We suddenly had an explosion of modern conveniences, and the stars seemed in reach, and hoverboards were just around the corner. It is hard, though, isn't it, to tell that story of progress when you look at the 20th century in the round. It is the century where more people were murdered than any other century before, as far as we can see. It means that there's a lot of people around, actually, who say this idea of progress is nonsense, and not just Christians. The second quote there on your handout comes from John Gray. He's an atheist. He is very troubled by the way that lots of his other fellow atheists are excited about progress. He thinks in the end that's just a fanciful belief. The quote there: humanists like to think that they have a rational view of the world, but their core belief in progress is a superstition, further from the truth about the human animal than any of the world's religions. He wants to say, this idea that humanity is going to make progress doesn't work because of human beings are. Really quite an interesting and honest suggestion. He says this, that science increases human power and magnifies the flaws in human nature. It enables us to live longer and have higher living standards. At the same time, it allows us to wreak destruction on each other and the earth on a larger scale than before. So science gives more power to people, but they're going to use that sometimes in positive ways and sometimes in much more destructive ways. So it is debatable, as you look at the course of human history, is there real progress here? Sometimes people have said there's a story of decline. Sometimes people have said it just feels like we go through cycles. Life is on loop. Again, maybe in your own life you feel something of that, the thought that you just find yourself repeating the same sorts of patterns and going through the same sorts of things. This idea of progress, it is debatable. It's also unstable as you think about how we talk about it. Here's the Christian writer C.S. Lewis. He says, progress means movement in a desired direction, and we do not all desire the same things for our species. So if you want progress, you've got to decide, where do you want to go? For a culture that talks a lot about progress, it's worth then asking, where would you like to go? And you realize people have very different ideas of what we're trying to do. They have very different ideas about how to get there, or even how to measure it. How do you tell whether we're making progress? Is it if we live longer? Is it that we make more money? How do you measure what progress looks like? And because those are complicated questions, I think a lot of politicians in particular, but a lot of other people just say, well, just progress is a good thing. Don't need to define it particularly. We just want to say progress is a good thing. If somebody stands up and says, we are offering progressive policies, that's just taken to be a good thing. I'm not really asking where we're trying to go, but just to say, it's next, it's new, that's what we're excited about. It's pretty unstable, though, when we haven't actually defined what are we trying to do, how would we measure it. It is also, in the way that a lot of people talk about progress in our society, it seems to me really quite self-righteous. What do I mean by that? Self-righteousness would be this idea that we stand in judgment on others. So in the Bible, Jesus tells a lot of stories against those who are self-righteous, those who look around them and they think that they are superior, that they look down on them because of the decisions that people have made or the things that have happened to them in their lives, and so they judge them. Where do we see that? We see it a lot in this talk about progress, I think. The idea that humanity has evolved to a place where we see things clearly. We see things clearly that generations that went before didn't see it. And so we think about ourselves as the ones who are enlightened. What came before was dark. So that the idea that, you know, Jim, you can't say that. It's 2024.
And I was born deep in the last century. So,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea that there are some things that now we understand and that we have this fairly unique position of being able to look back, judge what's come before, and whatever is new, whatever we think at this particular moment, is the only important thing.
Do you know the sad thing about being old is that you can remember people saying, this is the 20th century.
Right, right.
And that's as though this was modern.
Yeah. And it's one of the unsettling things, isn't it, is how quickly the things that we thought were very cutting edge and very obviously new and good become quite outdated. Yeah. So even if you just rewind a few years and think back to the American election where you had Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama, well, that was when they were both trying to be the Democratic candidate. Both of them campaigned against gay marriage. That's only, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago at most. And yet they were both campaigning against gay marriage. Now, if you stood up and campaigned against that, you would be slammed as being medieval and abhorrent and very unprogressive. It's one of the things that makes our culture quite terrifying to people, especially to our young people, I think, is that it is very hard to keep on top of what we think now is absolutely the important thing to say. And what can you say and what can't you say? It's very hard to keep on top of that. The spirit of it is captured in that line on the handout there that I read this week, and I can't quite remember who said this, but it struck me as interesting. What do we think of with this myth of progress, with this idea that we are seeing much more clearly than ever people have before what is right and wrong? We think our fathers are wrong and our children are right. There's a very arrogant assumption that what went before the last generation is wrong. There's an assumption of the fresh generation, the current generation, being the ones who see things morally very clearly. But it's really interesting to notice, where are we located in that? Our fathers are wrong, our children are right, and we're slightly stuck in the middle, not quite knowing where we stand. That's something that I think a lot of people experience. A kind of nervousness about saying the wrong thing, knowing that our culture talks so much about this progress that supposedly we've made. Well, the idea of progress, it's a story that we love to tell in our society, how things are getting better and better, and particularly as we think about how we see issues of justice and morality, we cast a lot of shade on anything that's gone before. And think of ourselves now as seeing things very clearly. How would a Christian think through some of these things? What difference would being a Christian make to all of this? Well, I want to say that Christianity does have a story to tell about the world, but it's not that story of things starting in a primitive, prehistoric sort of place and just ever so gently and steadily getting better. If that story is a story of a straight line or maybe a story of an arc that is just always going up, the way that Christians think about the world story is much more kind of tick shaped, you know, the kind of like a yes, you've got that right sort of tick. How does the Bible tell the story of the world? It tells us about a good start. The idea that human beings are made in the image of God, that means that they have value in his eyes, ought to have value in one another's eyes. But it is a relationship with God that we turn away from. The human beings created in God's image turn away from him and find themselves enslaved to their own desires and in darkness. The world has gone down into darkness, into a mess. And what the Bible then speaks about is how God is going to put that right, how the story of the world, having gone down into darkness, is going to be brought out of it by what God does. and by the story that God comes down into the world. That it's the message we hear about at Christmas, the idea that Jesus Christ, that man who lived 2,000 years ago, is God himself coming down into the world. That somehow his death and his resurrection are a way of God starting to put the world right. I mean, it means that the story of Jesus has that same shape. He comes down into this world, he suffers and he dies, and he is then raised up to new life. You see that same shape of him moving down into this world and into death, and then being raised to new life. And that becomes a picture of where the world is going to go. The story of Jesus' life is a sign to us as Christians that God hasn't abandoned the world to that darkness, to that chaos. He's not going to let it just fall into that. The idea that the world is just slowly going to get worse and worse and fall into decay, the Bible doesn't say that, because God has stepped in, because he's come. And what we look forward to is a day when God might come to put those things right, to put all things right, to bring about a new and a perfect world. Now, whereas that's a very different story to the story that often we're used to hearing. It might raise all sorts of questions for you. But let me tell you two things that it does for those of us who are Christians. First of all, it gives us genuine hope. It says to us that the world isn't going to just fall apart. Not because human beings are going to find it in themselves to make the world a perfect place. There's no utopia that we're going to create. But the thought that hope has come from outside, that God has stepped in, that for Christians means there is hope for this world, that God is going to come again in the future and put all things right. So it gives us hope. It also gives us humility. This is really important. As we said, there's a generation who are taught to think they are as good as humanity's ever got. We are the ones who see things perfectly clearly. We are the kind of apex. Christians don't believe that. We look around the world and we look down human history and we say, this is messy everywhere. Human beings are a mess. And we are self-destructive. We are damaging to ourselves and to other people. And part of being a Christian is saying, that's who we are. Made in God's image, having real value in the world, but also being fallen and broken and destructive and self-destructive. It humbles us to hear that's who we are, but it does set us free from thinking we are locked in some battle to prove how righteous we are, to prove how good we are. Instead, the message of the Bible comes to us to say that we are offered a new life. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to prove ourselves. Instead, we are offered a new life. To be a Christian is to follow Jesus down into death, to be helped to put an end to an old way of life, and to be given new life. That is what progress for a Christian looks like. Don't know if you've ever seen a baptism service take place. It's something that people will do as they start to follow Jesus. They will get baptized. Usually that means being dunked down into some water in a swimming pool or a river or a sea, or some churches have pools for this. And you go down into the water and then you're lifted up out again. It's a picture of what we believe God does for people, of giving them new life, of helping them to put an old way of life to death and being brought up into new life. Now that is a kind of progress. It is not the sort of progress that says, I'm getting a little bit better and better every day. Maybe lots of people think that's what a Christian is all about. That's what a Christian is, someone who just tries really hard to be good. No, it is a thought that God does something in us, changes us, takes us down into death, brings us out into new life. And that is our best shot at progress. In our own lives, for all the things that we struggle with, to come to Jesus and find we can have new life in him. As a society, to find that we are living this sort of dream of thinking that human beings are going to find it in themselves to conquer all of their problems. Instead of marching on thinking that we can pursue that, the best thing for us is actually to turn around. And that can be a kind of progress. Let me read you a last quote from C.S. Lewis. He speaks about this idea of progress, but wonders whether we should just keep marching on, hoping that human beings are going to find it in themselves to solve all of their problems. He says this: "We all want progress, but progress means getting nearer to the place where you want to be. And if you've taken a wrong turning, then to go forward does not get you any nearer. If you are on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. There's nothing progressive about being pig-headed and refusing to admit a mistake. And I think if you look at the present state of the world, it's pretty plain that humanity has been making some big mistakes. We're on the wrong road. And if that is so, we must go back. Going back is the quickest way on." Talk to a Christian and they'll say, that's the story of their life. Of realizing plotting their own path is not a route to progress or hope for them. But coming to Jesus, following him, receiving new life in him, is a way to make progress in our own lives and a way for the world to make some progress.